Hey, we're excited tonight. You know, we've got Eric Larson joining us, and of course, Eric, Cook County resident, as well as now a Boulder resident in Colorado too. So he's kind of splitting places, and his girlfriend Maria lives out in Boulder. And and did I get that right, Eric? I hear a little laughter. I hear a little laughter on the phone, but at any at any rate. You can straighten me out here in just a second or two. Eric has done something that's pretty amazing. He's done, as I mentioned earlier, I call it a trifecta, but it's really much more than that. He's gone to the North Pole, the South Pole, and climbed Mount Everest all within the same year. Just doing one of those in the course of a year is more than most people could even imagine. But to do all three is just such a feat. And successfully, and that pushed him into September to do Mount Everest. Eric, it's just great to have you on the show.
Yeah, well, thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
And now, did I get that wrong? I heard a little laughter about your reason for being in Boulder.
No, that's probably the main reason.
Okay.
But it's also, you know, the big part of coming out here was also for training as well.
Okay, sure. Eric, it's got to just feel, I mean, you must be on top of the world right now.
Not anymore.
You were on top of the world, yeah.
You know, more than anything, I'm just relieved. Because this trip, more than anything I've done before, just felt like there were so many hurdles and obstacles in completing, and there was never really any moment that I felt like, okay, this is 100% for sure. There's always kind of some doubt or fear or dread in my mind. So I just feel relieved. And I'm also excited because now is where the real work begins, because the expedition is just the platform to talk about these other issues. And I think, you know, for me, the issue is climate change is something that I've been working on for a long time. And while, you know, I'm not necessarily associated with any specific initiatives, I think for me it's important because it just continues the conversation in the public's mind.
Now, Eric, most people might dream of, well, maybe I'm going to go take a trip and paddle across Mountain Lake, or maybe I'm going to go to Hawaii on a vacation. Your dreams are a little more audacious than that. How did you get from what most people think about as an adventure to the big, bold adventures that you've taken part in?
I think for me, it's just been a process of learning and gaining experience, and also kind of a lifelong dream. I've always dreamt of doing big expeditions and going to remote places and spending as many days and nights outside and in a tent as I possibly could. And so I don't think I could have done any of the things that I'm doing now without all the kind of little steps that I've taken up until this point.
And by little steps, you mean the expeditions you've done in the past are not little steps. They've been big steps, but all the little steps prior to that?
Oh, yeah, you name it. I mean, all sorts of things, whether it's, you know, my time I was a bike racer in college to being a dog musher and in Grand Marais to, you know, working at Wolf Ridge Environmental Learning Center. All those little things really kind of add up to what I'm able to do right now in terms of not only just the physical journey, but the overall mission and communicating the message.
Are there things, do people ask you, you know, why do you want to do this as far as climbing, you know, McKinley climbing Everest or going to the North Pole, or does it put you in a place that you really want to be, even beyond the specific goal?
I think, yeah, people definitely ask why I'm doing these things. I think the Everest component has added a little more tangible aspect to this trip than just polar journeys. I think in the U.S., polar travel is still fairly abstract, as are just the polar regions, but people can really identify with climbing a mountain, getting to the top, and that kind of really specific obstacle. So I still entertain that question. I guess a little bit, and I seem to answer it in different ways at different times, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Everest is just a huge mountain, as I understand it. I've never been there. How did the reality differ from what you had imagined or read about?
Well, I'd done a lot of research and a lot of training about Everest and talked to a lot of people as well. And so I had a pretty good idea of what the specific route was like, what the climb was like, what some of the dangers were like. Unfortunately, I hadn't really talked to anybody who had climbed in the fall. It's not really the typical season that people climb, and no one has summited in the past 4 or 5 years. But to me, kind of the unique aspects of the journey were really just the amount of kind of interaction that you have with the people and the culture of that place. But it was just incredible. There were some things that I thought were more dangerous than I anticipated and scary, like going up through the ice fall. And there were things that were actually probably a little easier than I anticipated, dealing with the altitude and also the summit day, I thought was not the thing that I've ever done in my life, but it was difficult nonetheless.
Mm-hmm. Was this mountain... I know I just traveled to Denali, and you had climbed that mountain previously, and that mountain seemed bigger than I expected. Is that kind of the same feeling you had for Everest? It's just big?
The whole Khumbu Valley is gigantic. It's enormous. I was just amazed at the scale of the scenery. And when I first got there and we hiked into base camp, the first several days were really overcast. And so there was a layer of clouds that was kind of at the top of these very 1,000-foot steep cliffs, and could see waterfalls coming down. And I wondered what the source of those were, you know, you kind of thinking just the clouds themselves. And then one day the clouds cleared and there was a whole nother level to those mountains and snow-capped peaks above what I already thought was huge and gigantic. So the scale is definitely incredible. However, I will say that getting up to Camp 1 and Camp 2, you finally get it. You're not actually able to see the Mount Everest from base camp. And when you get up to Camp 1 and Camp 2, you can see the route and the lines that you're going to climb. And at that moment, it actually seems smaller than what I imagined, because it actually seems attainable. Like, okay, here's where Camp 3 is. Here's the south summit. There's the summit. And so that actually made it a little more real and a little more accessible for me.
You mentioned the Khumbu Ice Falls as being a scary place to be. How exposed are you on Mount Everest as compared to other places you've been?
Exposed in terms of just imminent danger?
Of falling over, you know, many thousands of feet, and it seems to be a half a step away.
Yeah.
That's exposed.
Actually, you know, the kind of modern way that people are climbing on Everest is that there's fixed ropes for most of the route up. Through the Khumbu Icefall, that's maybe more of a general conception than reality, because the fixed ropes get buried in snow, or there's an avalanche and parts of the route gets kind of washed out with snow. And so for the most part, you're relatively tied in to fixed lines. But there are situations where you're going across ladders and span crevasses, or up along between the south summit and the summit is a really precarious place. And those fixed ropes, you know, there's not a lot anchoring them in, maybe a couple of snow stakes every couple hundred meters.
So I had read that, and maybe that's the section you're referring to, is going up the Lhotse face was so spooky that some of the Sherpas didn't want to go there anymore.
Yeah, the top of the ice fall is fairly dangerous because of avalanches. The Lhotse face is probably the steepest section. So there are some definitely dangerous places. The team that I was with, which was a small team of kind of hand-picked Sherpas, most of them were really young guys, they were really excited about being there. They were glad for the opportunity to have a job. This was an all-Nepali team, which is really unusual. Most people that are climbing now are hiring Western guides. So it kind of, for me, was a very fulfilling experience, because all these guys got an opportunity to have a great job, and they also got a lot out of the summit in terms of just notoriety in Nepal and their own climbing resume, having summited for the first time in the fall, 4 or 5 years, as I mentioned.
And climbing the mountain is just kind of, I mean, it's huge, but also getting the money so you can afford to climb the mountain is quite a hurdle too. How did that go for you?
It was difficult. You know, my original plan for the Save the Poles expedition was actually to climb Mount Everest in the spring of 2009 in the main season, and at that point I didn't have any of the money, barely at all. I mean, we were just coming out of a pretty bad recession, and the idea of any sort of company forking over large amount of cash for a sponsorship was the last thing on most organizations' mind. And so it was really a struggle to get everything together. But I got a lucky break by being able to guide a trip to the South Pole again for the second year in a row in November and December. And I got back and kind of used that as a little bit of a foot in the door, and got another couple of breaks with some companies that I've been working with for a long time and kind of soliciting. One of them is Bing, which is a search engine from Microsoft, and then Terramar, which is a company that makes base layer, and was able to put together a few other sponsors just within weeks of departing for the North Pole, and that was probably the most stressful time. And then coming back from the North Pole, went back to a lot of my supporters and just said, hey, you know, why don't you put in a few dollars, and if everybody does that, we can make this thing happen and hopefully make a big difference. So it was a lot of hard work, and you know, I kind of unfortunately had to operate on that principle, which is if you throw your heart over the fence, the rest will follow.
And it worked. You got there.
Yeah.
It's a pretty amazing
surprising
story
to me still to this date.
Yeah, it's just, you know, I imagine, and like a lot of people out here, I've read so many books about Everest, and so many even, you know, the initial people trying to climb it just seems so unreal for somebody that I know so well to have gotten to the top to go there and actually do it. So it's just, it's like an unreal situation finding reality. It's great.
Yeah, and it is kind of unreal in one sense, and it's still hard for me to believe, but it's also, you know, kind of a very pragmatic and matter-of-fact thing, because one of the things that I've learned through expeditions is that a lot of these things on the expedition are just skills. And if you can learn those skills, practice them, or find them, be observant, try to improve, you know, you can come up with a pretty simple formula to be successful. And of course, a little bit of luck always helps too.
Yeah, that's what I ride on all the time. I know that. Eric, you've got to be just, you know, everybody wanting to talk to you, wanting to get you on their programs, et cetera. What's your appearance? Leave you any time for yourself?
Oh yeah, yeah. I've had a really nice week out here in Boulder, just relaxing. I'm still a little bit on Kathmandu time, so I've been waking up early, which is, as many people, Lonnie especially knows, it's not really my strong suit. So I'm taking advantage of that by you know, trying to coordinate as much stuff as I can, but also just doing fun things like sitting in chairs, eating at a table, you know.
Simple things.
The quality parts of life.
One thing we didn't hit on yet this conversation is the North Pole side of your trip. And you had been on two expeditions with Lonnie Dupree here locally to get to the North Pole in the summertime. One, of course, from the Russian side, which became problematic, but a successful endeavor from the Canadian side. That experience had to help you in a very, very difficult trip to get to the North Pole again.
Oh yeah, that experience was huge. And more from a mental aspect than a kind of gear wise or logistical kind of component. The North Pole trip that Lonnie and I did in the summer for me was probably one of the more difficult things I did, because we were constantly going into this unknown set of worsening conditions. And I think that's kind of the standard operating procedure for the Arctic Ocean and trying to get to the North Pole. But it's also a really debilitating thing if it's not something you're expecting or if it's something you're not used to. And I think for me, that was probably one of the biggest benefits, was just knowing that, you know, the conditions are going to get worse. It's going to be difficult, but if we just kind of keep into this pattern, into this routine and our schedule, we're going to make it. So I think that was a big part of our ability to succeed on that trip, for sure.
Hey, Eric, it's Ann. Congratulations on your incredible achievement. I'm glad I get to talk to you tonight and hear this. But I have to ask, because I'm sure everybody's asking you this question, now what? How do you follow a year like this?
You know, I always said I judge the quality of my life by how many nights I get to spend in the tent.
Well, I know, but, and I know you talked about living for a year outside.
Yeah, be careful what you wish for, because it might come true. You know, I have a lot of ideas. My main focus right now is to really follow up with what's happened with Save the Poles. I think, for me, I feel very lucky because I've been able to see what I call the last great frozen places on the planet intimately, and I would hate to see that ice and snow and cold goes the same way as the passenger pigeons. So really, what I want to do is just connect people to those places, tell the story of those places in as many venues as possible, and that's really my most important objective right now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you got any appearances coming up in Minnesota that our listeners should know about?
Yeah, Midwest Mountaineering. I'm not sure the date, maybe November 20th, I think, at the Winter Expo. That's the Sunday. And then I think we might be having a party in Corey Berg's garage. There might be a few pictures shown there.
That sounds great, yeah. It might be a little larger venue than that, I think, though.
Yeah.
Now, Eric, one thing that I'm curious about, are you going to try to further your skills in writing and come up with a book out of your experience this year?
Yeah, definitely. You know, one of the things that I think gets me through a lot of expeditions is just the fact of being able to share the story with other people. One, because it's fun to be able to share the experiences, and two, it's a good way to just pass time during the day, which is thinking about how I might describe that day. So my goal is definitely to try to get something written down in the pretty near future, with pictures and whatnot, because I just think, again, these places are amazing, and I think the more people understand how unique they are, how vast they are, how beautiful they are, the more concerned they'll be as they start to change.
Now, Eric, you've pretty much been tied up with your expeditions for some time, and of course there's that day-to-day life that has to happen too. Are you going to go out and start on the talk circuit to help support yourself? You might have some bills yet to pay for this trip.
Yeah, try living with no health insurance for a couple of years. It's not a good idea. I really enjoy giving presentations to whatever audience, and so that's always an objective of mine, is to try to get that story out in schools, at corporate groups, or, you know, nature centers or whatever. But one of the things that I've learned over time is that, you know, these moments are always fleeting, and so I'm trying to, I guess, diversify myself as much as I possibly can and do a little guiding. I'll probably go back to Antarctica again next year, which is a trip that I absolutely love and could do just year after year after year. And a few other kind of speaking engagements with National Geographic. Next summer I'll be on a ship going to Svalbard. And then I'm also going to be working with a couple of my sponsors on kind of some social media initiatives and kind of taking what I learned from this expedition and trying to help some of the companies that I work with get their message out and become more aware of their companies and their gear, cool gear and things like that. So
Well, in the meantime, Eric, is there, I'm sure you have a website, and I've been to it, that people can look at to learn more about your achievements over this last year and also more about your goals and objectives in getting the word out on climate change?
Yeah, the website is SaveThePoles.com, and there's a link to Facebook and Twitter where all the action is really happening nowadays. You can check out my daily video updates, podcasts, pictures, all sorts of cool stuff.
That sounds great. And how do you get there? To the your Facebook page? Is there a link on your
Yeah, there's
website?
A link on SaveThePoles.com. It's all over there. You'll find it.
Oh, sounds great. Well, Eric, we want to thank you so much for staying awake long enough to come on the program tonight. You're still in Kathmandu time, and we sure look forward to seeing you here in Cook County. Eric Larson joining us by phone from Boulder, and of course, Eric has just completed the North Pole, South Pole, and Mount Everest, getting to the top in one calendar year. I don't know if I mentioned, Eric, that you're the first person to have done that.
Yeah, I am. I don't know what the previous record was, but I don't think anybody was crazy enough to try it before.
And I think you're also like the 15th or 16th person to have accomplished all three things, no matter what the time span.
Yeah, the polar people tend not to be mountaineers, and mountaineers tend not to be polar people, although I guess that's changing a little bit now.
Well, it's a huge achievement. Thank you so much for joining us, Eric.
Thank you. I really appreciate the interest, for sure.
We'll see you again in Cook County soon.